This is a Jerry Pippin special report. We've all heard the sound of a flying saucer landing, in the movies at least. Many movies since the 1950s have had the sound of a flying saucer coming to land. But in real life, it has happened, evidently, to many people. And it was not as exciting as the movies. It was terrifying. They came, they saw, and they take. Abductions. E.T. abductions. That's the subject of our show tonight.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our UFO special. It's extraterrestrials and abductions and the phenomenon that has been around for a while. And we'll talk about the phenomenon and how long it's been there and what is happening with it. We'll have a regular panel like we did last time we did an abduction special. And Elaine Douglas will be joining us in a moment. And she is a well-known journalist and researcher involved in abductions, and she has JARS magazine, J-A-R-S, I think. We'll get all the clarification from Elaine here in a moment. We're doing this show on the evening of July 25th, deep in the heart of the summertime here in North America. And interestingly enough, tonight, the star Sirius was rising over Egypt and the pyramids. Sirius was a very important star to the ancients. And in early science fiction, when I first became acquainted with this entire subject, Sirius was one of the places we suspected that perhaps abductees or ETs who did the abducting came from. We're not really sure where they really come from. Sirius is one of the closest stars, and many think that they played an important part in at least some of the UFO encounters we've had. And so we just thought we'd mention that before we start the show completely. And first, we probably should go ahead and bring on our first panel member, Elaine Douglas. And Elaine Douglas is a good friend of ours. We talk to her regularly, and she's been very interested in the UFO business for a long time. She has quite a background, and we'll probably get into some of that as we go along. And Elaine, do you still have the magazine JARS?
Yes, Jerry, we still do. It's a great pleasure to talk to you today.
It's always good to have you on. Why don't you tell people a little bit before we go any further the background on JARS and what it is exactly and why you call it that.
JAR stands for the Journal of Abduction and Counter Research. And it's a quarterly journal centered on the abductions, which I think is the most important part of the picture when we come to look at the ET picture. And so that's why the magazine's centered on that.
Now, you told me at one time that you had never really had an abduction experience. So what got you interested in it?
Well, I don't see how anybody could not be absolutely mesmerized if they think that there's extraterrestrials operating on the planet. I mean, it's just something that can't be ignored. You don't have to be an abductee to be mesmerized by it all.
Do you remember when you first became aware of the ET abduction phenomenon?
Yeah, Bud Hopkins in the mid-80s. I heard an interview with him. And, you know, Jerry, that communication that's on the website, AmericanNationalMilitia.com, have you played that yet?
No, we'll play it here in a minute, because we're going to talk about it.
Yeah,
and you're very
really
interested in that website, and you call that woman a cadaverous-looking woman. That's an interesting adjective.
Well, did you look at her? She's kind of cadaverous-looking. But I wish you'd go ahead and play that. It would be great.
Okay. And you might tell the audience why we're going to play it.
Well, if you just play it, then we can talk about it.
Okay, we'll do it your way. Joe, let's go ahead and play that insert right now.
Created Creator and us. It has been declared that extractions of the Cabal have begun. Those extracted will be destroyed. Those that surrender will be spared and given a choice. Each day they wait means more will be taken. And if there is no surrender by June 21st, they will all perish. With acceptance of the terms of surrender comes an offer to rejoin the light, requiring rehabilitation and probation, both under supervision. Any damage done to humanity or Gaia will be restored. Failure to accept the terms of surrender will be interpreted as an act of aggression and an act of war. Since it has been decreed that there will be no more wars, this would constitute a violation of this decree. The bloodlines will be removed from Earth in a couple of ways. They may either choose to be rehabilitated on a more suitable planet, or they will be destroyed. I would like to say unconditional surrender, but unfortunately, humanity still feels the need for governments to guide them. Therefore, for the remainder of this year, we will be responsible for using the tools given to us to return Gaia's health as quickly as possible. All residual and corrupt humans left after culling the Cabal will be found and extracted.
Hi, Elaine Douglas. Why don't you expand a little bit on why you wanted us to play this?
And, it's a very startling communication, isn't it, Jerry? That communication is a video. It appears on the American National Militia.com site. It's a site run by a fellow calling himself Drake. And Drake is talking about how the U.S. military is going to do mass arrests of the Cabal. This was supposed to happen by the end of June.
Yeah, she said June 21st there, and we obviously passed that.
Obviously. When I point this communication out to people, sometimes some of them say, well, we didn't have a military coup in June, and the ETs didn't swoop down and extract people and send them to the central sun where their very existence would be erased from time. I'm quoting her. So they say that the communication isn't true. It didn't come true, so it's not worth paying attention to this communication. But to me, you know, I never thought it was going to come true. And I've heard other communications like it in the past. But still, Jerry, I can't put it aside easily. Here's my question is, how does this kind of output come to be? You know, somebody put this communication together and carefully presented it to it. Who put it together? And what exactly do they have in mind? You know, it bothers me. You know, if we could take a look at what this communication seems to be saying. This woman is sitting there. She's mouthing this statement. She's very skinny. I call her the cadaverous woman. I'd like to take her out and buy her a meal. She doesn't say her name. Drake won't tell us her name. There's no affiliation stated. At the beginning, she begins by intoning, "The votes for war and peace have ended." Sounds very portentous, very formal and important. You know, but votes by whom? We don't know what she's talking about, so we listen. And we listen more, we realize it's a threatening statement. She tells us it's coming from, quote, on and off-world forces. Okay. So this is the ETs talking, the ETs and their human allies. And they're, what are they saying? And so they're demanding the surrender of another group of humans, the Cabal. Who's the Cabal? They're never named, Jerry. You know, I've been hearing the ETs and their human allies talk about the Cabal for years. And not one time have I heard the names of the Cabal. I'm going to take a wild guess here, and I'm going to say that the Cabal this is just, you know, reading between the lines. It's U.S. government people who are part of the UFO cover-up. So the cadaverous woman, she tells us, the ETs told these UFO cover-up people that they could either surrender or they would all be destroyed.
We hear many stories from abductees, not necessarily like this one, but very similar, of doom and gloom and being saved by a group of ETs. I mean, it's not something different, but as you say, you never really believed that message before June 21st, and neither did I.
Mm-hmm. But you have to ask yourself, like I'm doing, where is this coming from? Okay? I mean, it might be, it's a question, isn't it? Is this a stage show, a performance for the UFO community? Or is this bear any relationship to reality? Are the ETs in a standoff with the cover-up? They could be. So according to her, according to the cadaverous woman, she tells us that when the ET told the cover-up that they could either surrender or they'd all be destroyed, the cover-up people apparently answered by saying, hell no, we'll fight to the death, that's according to her, before we surrender. And if you push us by voting for war, we'll take out 2/3 of the population of Earth. Jerry, do you remember the movie Dr. Strangelove?
Sure.
Do you remember the Doomsday Machine? The Russians said they rigged up something. The Russians rigged this up. That if U.S. attacked them, that it would trigger explosions by thousands of nuclear weapons all over the place, and there would be nothing left. And it was set up so that it couldn't be stopped. So the cadaverous woman seems to be alluding to something like that, a Doomsday Machine. At the response of the cover-up people to the demands of the ETs and their human allies. So then she suggests that in the eyes of the ETs, it's not a very credible threat. The ETs don't believe, apparently, that cover-up would actually unleash a doomsday machine. She called it a fear card.
Now how long have you been publishing your quarterly magazine? Several years. So this scenario is probably not, you know, off the wall. We've heard this before. And this is part of the abduction thing we hear. And that's one of the reasons some people don't take abductions seriously, is that they hear these things all the time. I mean, what do you think about it? I mean, do you think it's, you asked some pretty good questions. I don't have the answers.
So, you know, she claims that the ETs intend to carry on with their threat, which is they're going to extract and kill all the cabal. They do surrender, they can be rehabilitated, she says. And then she gets legalistic. She says that it has been decreed there will be no more wars. But if the cabal does not surrender, that will be an act of war. So failure to surrender is an act of war. It justifies the extraction. Now, remember, Jerry, then in the background, we have Drake. Now, you know, I'll get to him in a minute. But then she goes on to claim that the ETs get their authority from God. She says, from the supreme heart and mind who created creation, who created the Creator and us. It has been declared. I mean, these kinds of statements are not... This is non-trivial propaganda. You know, and I think we ought to examine it.
So you don't think it's somebody that's demented that had strange dreams or something and they just decided to put it on the web? You think
no,
there's more to it?
No, I don't. I think this is coming from the ET.
Well, who are we doing it and why?
Well, that's a very good question. Why are the ETs doing this and why are the ETs doing it? I mean,
first of all, you and I agree that I think... extraterrestrial interventions through the means of abductions have been taking place for some time. And we have various stories. And I think, and I'd like to have your opinion, but I think, you know, maybe there's more than one group doing different things.
Which would mean?
Yeah, you know, with human beings.
I'm not. Can I say in a very friendly way? So what? You know, I mean that in a friendly manner. You know, the ET presence is, the abductions are part of it. We have a hybridization program. There are so many reports, Jerry, of alien bases in many places on the Earth. This is very serious. We also know that our government has contact with aliens. We also know that our government is engaging in abductions itself. Okay, there's a great deal that is going on. It's all on a realm that the only people who are aware of it is the UFO community. That is just a remarkable thing, because the whole thing is so surreal, so outlandish, so unbelievable, that, you know, the only ones who know about it in the public are UFO researchers and abductees. Now, what does she mean when she talks about bloodlines? She says all the bloodlines will be removed from Earth and taken to a suitable planet or destroyed. Do you know what the bloodlines are, Jerry?
No, tell me. I know our audience, so a lot of people don't know either.
Maybe somebody will call in and tell us what they are. You know, then she says, she refers to all the rest of us people, the non-cabal, and what will happen after the cabal extraction is over. She says, unfortunately, humanity still feels the need for governments to guide them. Therefore, for the remainder of the year, we will be responsible. So you have to read between these lines, Jerry. It sounds like she's saying that after the cabal is extracted, ETs will be responsible for governing. You know, that's what it says. I mean, I don't know what else.
But my point is that
you know, which is what I'm doing.
My point is that abductions happen all over the world. And, for instance, down in Brazil, quite a few. One of the original ones was there. And you don't hear people talking about the ETs telling them we're going to take over the government of Brazil, or they're working hand-in-hand with them. It seems to be something that's prevalent here in the United States. And so what I want to get past tonight, if we can, is the fact that there's a lot of strange stories about abductions, but behind all those strange stories, there's some real events happening. Don't you agree?
Well, of course they're real events. You know, of course they're real events, and they must not be seen as just some sort of isolated event, an abduction. What does it mean? Why are they being done?
You know, well, we're going to get some.
Vacation.
Yeah, we're going to get some stories from people who have been abducted.
You can get
and some other people on the panel who maybe can answer some of these questions for us. But you're right. You've been covering this story for a long time, and these issues you bring up are important, but they're not really the core story.
Yeah.
The core story is there's some hybridization going on. Some tagging of people, some tracking of us, through families and bloodlines. Don't you agree?
I don't know what the bloodlines are.
That means a family. It's generation after generation after generation. Surely you've heard that story.
These abductions lead, Jerry, to the capture of the personality and the will, as well as the body of the abductees. They lead to a capitulation, and they lead to an appropriation of the life of the abductee to serve the ET agenda. So, you know, when you see the cadaverous woman, when you see Drake, who's out there telling us that the ETs are, I mean, do you want to know what he said? You know, do you want to know what Drake's take on all this is, and what he's advocating and what he's about?
Well, are you suggesting this woman is an ET or an instrument of some propaganda, or?
I
just don't think there's much to it. I think basically she's just out there.
She's just out there.
Yeah, in other words,
she's
not part of the real extraterrestrial abduction issue. I see no evidence, personally. It's just my opinion. Maybe we'll change my mind in the next 2.5 hours, but I don't see any evidence of a group of ETs that are going to take over the world and work, and we hear about the reptilians working with certain governments. Do you buy into that?
There is no evidence of what she is or who she is. All we know about her is her visage. And what she says, her prepared statement. So we don't have evidence that what she is or what she isn't. But what we do have evidence of is the manner in which the abductions lead to the capture of the personality, the will, and the entire life of the abductee, and who then becomes a person after they capitulate due to a long period of time in which many inducements and compulsions are inflicted on the abductee, lead to a capitulation. And so, and then you have people who are saying that they are aliens. You know, that they're aliens, and they're saying that they look to the aliens to save the planet. And they say that, as far as they're concerned...
Elaine, is that much different than the religious Christian belief of... someday we'll all be raptured and saved from here? It seems to me it's the same little story.
Well, if you want to...
And what I'm after tonight on the facts here is maybe we can establish some real facts about what abductions really are. Are they what this woman says and what we've been alluding to, or a more realistic or scientific basis for what they're doing?
Jerry, we have, first of all, we have the cadaverous lady who's speaking on behalf of the abductees, of the ETs, and telling us that the cabal is going to be arrested and extinguished. Then we have Drake, on whose website she appears. He won't tell us who she is, you know, but he tells us about himself, and he tells us that he's a person who's connected with the ETs, and he tells us that the ETs are standing in the background and waiting while the U.S. military bestirs itself to arrest the cabal, that they're waiting. He tells us in his last broadcast,
I think it's more likely that if there is a cabal, the U.S. military would be part of it. It's the reason I'm saying that we shouldn't make too much of this, especially in the show, but I wanted to bring you on at first and talk about it, because it is part of the overall ET abduction scene. And I'm going to bring on Craig Lang here in a minute, who's a hypnotherapist. And he has some stories to talk about as well. And Elaine, I hope you hang around here for the panel, because we want your opinions as the night goes along. Do you have any closing comments about this before we go to break?
No, I'll make comments later.
Okay. We'll be back in a moment. This is Jerry Pippin, and this is our extraterrestrial abduction show special. Don't go away.
I'd like to take an opportunity here to talk to you about our websites. We've been adding programs and adding programs, and sometimes it's difficult to find what you're looking for. First of all, we have a search mechanism on each of our websites, and you can click, like if it's jerrypippin.com or if ipodshows.net, just search the websites, put in the name of what you're looking for, and it will come up. Check us out, won't you? Often.
You are listening to our abduction special, Extraterrestrials, Taking Human Beings.
For what purpose, we're not sure. Dr. David Jacobs has made a career investigating this phenomenon.
It happens to an enormous amount of people who are random people, but who are abductees, which means they are not random. People don't really know what's happened to them. People are embarrassed to even talk about this. It makes them seem crazy. There are some people who are enormously articulate, people who have PhDs and MDs and so forth, and they see the big picture right away, and they're very, very careful in what they say, and they're very observant. And there are some people who are not so articulate and not so observant, and it's much more difficult for them to understand what's happening. But ultimately, they all sort of describe the same things. If this were psychological, what would happen is we'd have a lot of different goals, a lot of different things happening. We wouldn't be able to have this sort of straight and narrow path that people have been describing. It'd be all over the place. But it's not that way. They all say the same thing. I'm very pessimistic about it. I fear for the future.
That's Dr. David Jacobs talking about ET abductions.
That's Dr. David Jacobs that you were listening to talking about, frankly, he's not very optimistic about the entire abduction scenario and the end results for generations on down the line. And so we played that for a reason, because I wanted to bring on Craig Lang right now. Craig, how are you?
Hey, great.
And you're up in Minnesota, I take it?
Yeah, Minneapolis.
And you've been doing hypnotherapy for some time?
Yeah, I've been actually a hypnotherapist for about 15 years. I just took a big swan dive into my practice. I just left my day job about 6 months ago, so now I am a, I would say, half-time hypnotherapist and about half-time writer and researcher, things like that. So that's it's a whole brave new world here all of a sudden.
Yeah, say hello to Elaine Douglas, who's talking to us from Utah.
Well, Craig was just appointed state director for MUFON.
Yeah, I just got that crown and scepter about the same time I left my day job, so life changes a lot really fast.
We're going to talk about a few things here in a moment, but first of all, Dr. David Jacobs, who originally was going to be on tonight's show, is on vacation up at Cape Cod, and he couldn't get away tonight. His family was counting on doing something, so he's going to join us in September or October on the next special. But we're glad to have Elaine and Craig here. And Craig, I got an email here, and Elaine, you can answer this as well. It's apart from the hybridization program, what other reasons could there be for abductions? And both of you can give me an explanation. First of all, you, Craig.
And the sense I get is that there's quite a few different reasons. Some of those reasons are rather ambiguous, I think. I think there's a monitoring and a research component to it. I think there's a teaching component of some kind to it. And I think there's probably some kind of an exploitation component to it. I think us speculating on an alien agenda is probably something like wolves speculating on the agenda behind the rangers, in the wilderness rangers or something like that. It's like there's some things that probably we just don't understand.
And Elaine, what's your take on it? The whole abduction scenario.
Well, what I see is the life appropriation, the manner in which the abductees become bonded to the aliens and become persuaded that they're more a part of the aliens than they are a part of the human race.
Craig, let's talk a little bit about hypnotherapy.
Sure.
Are you convinced that when you put somebody under hypnosis that they are telling the truth, or do you have some sort of safeguards to make sure they're not making things up, or is that even possible?
Yeah, we have a there are a number of ways that you can tell. It's not foolproof by any means, but there are ways that you can tell whether something is creative in nature or metaphorical. You know, I've used those quite a bit, and one of the easiest ways is just through repetition. It's the same way that forensic interviewers tell when they're like detectives when they're interviewing a suspect. They do the same thing. They basically ask the person to tell the story forward and backward. They look for if the story is consistent from all different angles, then it's probably true. So whereas dream material or creative material probably would not be. I always just put it like Mark Twain said, tell the truth, you have to remember so much less.
Is everyone susceptible to hypnotherapy?
Just about everybody. I've been practicing for 15 years, and I think there were about 3 or 4 people who really did not do well under hypnosis, primarily because either there was some issue, mental or psychiatric issue that prevented them from allowing themselves to go with the flow. If you can read a novel, or if you can, get into a novel, or if you can get into a good movie, and identify with the characters, you have been hypnotized.
This is Craig Lang, and he's in Minnesota. And one of my favorite radio TV personalities of all time is from Minnesota, by the name of Jim Lang. And are you related to him at all?
Nope.
Very
it might be if you go back far enough into German ancestry.
Yeah.
If you go back far enough into Bavaria, maybe. But so far as I can tell, no.
Now you have a website. Tell
CraigRLang.com.
Yeah, and on that website, what would people find?
Well, I have a lot about alien abduction, a lot about hypnotherapy. And kind of a lot about, what is hypnosis, what different aspects of dealing with the abduction phenomenon, a number of research projects I've done over the years. So it's a pretty wide variety of stuff. And also what you can expect, in hypnosis, in hypnotherapy, how to contact me, where I do my work, and things like that.
Now we'll have Peter Robbins joining us next hour to be part of the panel as well. And people listening, if you have an abduction question or a story or a real-life experience or you suspect something, you're invited to call in at 888-919-2355. That'll be toll-free. Elaine, you've been doing this quarterly magazine for some time about abductions. And hypnosis plays an important part in what we've discovered about abductions over the years, don't you think? What's your feeling about hypnosis?
It's a very useful tool.
And so and Craig, I guess naturally you do too, put a lot of stock into it. We just had David Jacobs on with a little soundbite. And
yeah.
he puts a lot of stock into it. So let's find out what people say under hypnosis about abductions.
You have to be aware of the limitations of it. It tells you what's in the person's subconscious. It doesn't actually tell you what happened. And you always have to be aware of what it is that you're actually seeing or hearing when someone's in hypnosis. Although you can do a lot to establish, whether or not something is biographical memory or something like that. In the end, you have to be aware of what you're doing, of what you're actually, what book you're actually reading. And the book that you're reading is actually the person's subconscious, not necessarily a tape recorder of what happened or a video camera of what happened.
Can you give some examples of what people say happens to them with abductions?
Okay, well, I get a lot of the classic things, but I don't get that complete consistency that a lot of people describe. And also, I'm going to mention that Elaine talks about this appropriation of personality or appropriation of the experiencer's life. I have not seen that as much. I've seen in some ways attempts at that, but I haven't seen it succeed as much as Elaine is describing. So to answer your question, when people describe the abduction scenario, I would say 8 or 9 out of 10 describe the bedroom intrusion, the capture from the bed. They're floated out, up a beam, and, you know, kind of the usual stuff that you would read in Bud Hopkins, David Jacobs, anybody else that had written about the topic. The standard capture scenario is almost identical. And then once in there, I would say a lot of them are, I would say 90% are female, and most of them describe the hybrid and the impregnation and things like that. So it's a pretty standard scenario in a lot of ways.
And either one of you can get into this. How do you explain that? I guess it would be one of two ways, actually, what's happening by the prevalence of the information and the evidence. And secondly, yeah. Maybe there's some copycat stuff going on. Is that possible?
Well, it's possible.
In other words, people hear abduction stories, and then you put them under,
yeah.
And they repeat that?
There have been several cases. I would say the null hypothesis, if you will, kind of be what a skeptic would say would be that some of this is false pregnancy. And they might, I don't know. It's entirely possible that some of this might have a psychological explanation, but the explanations for the same phenomenon, you know, different aspects of the same phenomenon or different circumstances under which it occurs would have to be very widely varied. The single simplest explanation is for all of this phenomenon that we see surrounding alien abduction is that it's actually happening.
Are these people shaken up when they come out of the trance or however how you want to phrase it? I mean, it's an experience that most of them...
Yeah. I tend to part company with a lot of hypnotherapists or hypnotists that do this in that if I see a lot of emotion coming through, we switch right over to healing work. We don't, I don't do any more digging at that point. Healing becomes the top priority. I think there might or might not be, and several of the other hypnotists that are listening or going to be on here probably could tell me more about their own techniques or methodologies. But when I see this happen, we switch right over to healing mode. You know, the research hat goes on the shelf and the healing hat goes on the head. But having said that, yes, it can be some pretty traumatic stuff. A few weeks ago, I worked with a client that she had had a fetal extraction done, and it was absolutely devastating. She was just, I had a few tears in my own eyes as I was doing it. It was just, it's absolutely devastating because it seems to be it's at about the fourth month of gestation is when it seems to occur. And just at the point where they bonded, where mother and child have finally, mother and, you know, and fetal child have bonded and they're accepted the fact that they're pregnant, even though it may be somehow could that happen? But that biological acceptance has occurred, and then the extraction occurs, and it's just devastating.
Yeah, Elaine, many of these people, and I certainly understand why, they never recover from these experiences, especially if they're part of a hybridization program. You've probably done many, many articles about things like that.
Are you talking to me or Elaine?
Elaine.
Okay. Your question, Jerry?
Yeah, you've probably done a lot of articles about this fertilization program, the hybridization, and it always seems to have a huge effect on the female, which is understandable. And I'm just asking you, basically, what do you think about this practice? Is it pretty much everyone that's abducted? And Craig, you can get in on this too. Are they there because of this fertilization or hybridization program, or?
I will say many are. I'm not going to say all of them because there seems to be enough. There seems to be a number of different roles of participation or roles of whatever, use or whatever. They seem to be a lot of the long-term female experiencers. Yeah, that seems to be the case that they're. You know, if some woman is a lifelong abductee, they've probably got about 3 or 4 star children out there somewhere by the time they're in their 40s.
Yeah, we were talking about bloodlines a little earlier, Craig.
Yeah.
Does it seem to follow families?
I got a good feeling about that.
So, mother and daughter, I know 2 or 3 have been on our shows over the years.
Yeah. It seems to go. What I've observed is that it seems to go down the maternal family line.
And so, we don't really. Do you have a clue? I don't have a clue, but maybe you do, Craig, or maybe you do, Elaine, about who's doing it and why. I mean, is there more than one group of people, ETs from different places, doing it, or do we have any?
Why is that an important question, Jerry?
Yeah, what I'm asking is, I want to know what you think about who's doing this. I mean, is it a group, one group of ETs, or they describe different people? The grays is basically what we hear about.
I have a theory.
Yeah.
You want me to go ahead on that?
Go ahead.
Okay,
I'd like to hear the theory.
I talk about that in my book. I'm going to take a moment to do a shameless plug for my book here. Can I do that?
There's nothing wrong with a shameless plug occasionally.
Okay, all right. Shameless plug, begin shameless plug now. My book is called The Cosmic Bridge. It's on, its subtitle is Close Encounters and Human Destiny, where I take this question kind of head on. What seems to be going on? I offer some theories as to what might be happening. Bearing in mind that they are theories, I don't claim to know the truth. But based on the pieces and bits that I have put together, both through the literature and through what experiencers have told me, one hypothesis that I've developed in there is that there's a human improvement project going on. I know Elaine doesn't agree with this, but it's a hypothesis. But that it's a, like I say, a human improvement project. If you look at the Earth from the point of view of them out there, whoever them might be, you know, some cosmic civilization that's kind of keeping an eye on things around our sector of the galaxy, you would find that there is this race of basically 2-year-olds with nuclear weapons developing, and we're within a few hundred years of developing star travel. And you can't tell me that we're going to be particularly spiritually enlightened within a few hundred years. So my own thought is that if I were the cosmic civilization, I would be very nervous about these kids with nuclear weapons suddenly flying out into the galaxy. So I would be busy trying to either somehow make them become acceptable to the outside world, the outside universe or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So there would probably be some kind of a human improvement project going on. And that seems, I'm betting, probably not a lot of money, but I would bet a little bit that there's some kind of something along those lines going on.
Okay, now Elaine, Craig says you don't agree. What do you think's going on?
Well, you know, Craig Lang is one of the best investigators and therapists in working with abductees, and I have really great respect and affection for Craig Lang. And the only comment I would make would be that the idea that the aliens are here to help humanity in some way, human improvement, is also explained in an alternative way, that this idea comes from the aliens, that it's part of their output, that they've told the abductees this over and over. They tell us, you know, they get here and they tell us their opening position, the aliens' opening position is, we're okay, you're not okay. We're morally superior, yeah. We're technologically superior, and there's something wrong with you. And then they proceed with this coercive tactic, which is kidnapping. And there's, you know, since the purpose, as I see it, of the whole abduction relationship with each individual is to cause a capitulation of the abductee's will, they use many explanations that they provide to people to palliate, you know, to excuse what is going on. They tell us that they're here to help us. And what do we know? I mean, we're just like the natives on the shores of the Bahamas when Columbus showed up. You know, we don't know who these people are, where they came from. All we know is they've got some really, really good machines. And we hope, we really do hope, because we're so defenseless, that they're here to help us. And so when they tell us that they're here to help us, then we believe it.
But there you go. You can see, I comment on that?
We believe it, but we have to at least entertain alternative explanations.
Can I comment on that?
Pardon me?
Can I comment on it?
Yeah, you can comment on it since she's finished.
Okay.
No, I'm not finished.
Go ahead.
The alternative explanation is that we're being told that they're here to help us in order to cause us to be more trusting and cooperative with them, and even more fervently espouse them and so on. And so it's easy to see where that kind of belief could arise, and it doesn't make it true.
Okay, Greg, your comment.
First of all, most of the stuff I'm looking at here is based, what I'm basing my conclusions on is the dynamic between the visitors and the experiencer, not what the visitors are telling the experiencer. Basically, I conclude about the same thing you do, Elaine, that visitors tell the experiencer is usually fat and BS. And there's probably some purpose for that, that it's like a psychology experiment or something like that, more than anything else.
Yep.
No, I think that it has nothing to do with, they're not here for our enlightenment or anything like that. They're here to, their reasons for being here are entirely motivated by their own benefit, for their own self-interest, and that is to prevent, you know, and again, this is a hypothesis. In Bridge, I actually proposed several tests for that hypothesis that we could perform to see whether it's correct or not. But what I suggest is that they're interested in preventing a unruly bunch of barbarians, quote unquote. You know, I'm being very sarcastic there, or very exaggerating, but from spilling out into the galaxy and imperiling them. It's in their interest to see that we are somehow, not necessarily for our own benefit, but we're somehow civilized or coothified, if you will, before we start building warp drives.
Have you ever thought about the alternative idea that perhaps these ETs are just as barbaric as we are? I mean,
sure,
all they are kidnapping people.
If they intend to restrain us, if they intend to restrain our barbaric tendencies, Greg, how exactly are they going to go about doing that? Are we going to like it? Are we going to be able to vote on it? Or, you know, how is it going
to
happen?
Good question. I don't know the answer to that. You know, that's, one of the things I make.
Before either one of you go on, let me say and explain what I'm talking about here. I'm saying maybe there's more than one group doing these things, and they have different reasons.
That's entirely believable.
And they have different reasons. There may be some creatures of light out there and goodness, angels of the good.
Yeah.
But I think, and it's just not, well, it might be my broadcast background. The demons are far, far more ratings attractive. But I think there are demons out there. I mean, not everybody that you've had under hypnosis, and not everybody, Elaine, that you've written about, was treated really very well. Some were, but many of them, are scarred for life. So at the very least, these extraterrestrials, to me, don't seem like they have much compassion or psychology for people.
The point of
they wouldn't be doing that.
Jerry, the point of the abductions is not to give people a good time or a bad time. Point is to precipitate a capitulation of the abductee's personality.
What do you think about that, Greg?
I don't see that. I have seen where it seems to me to be kind of a scientist-lab animal relationship. They don't particularly care. You know, a scientist doesn't particularly care what the lab mouse thinks of it. It's more the lab mouse is in the scientist's laboratory for the purpose of the scientist's experiment. And from the mouse's point of view, the scientist is entirely self-serving. It doesn't really, the mouse's benefit isn't really anywhere in there. And it seems to me to be kind of a similar relationship. And having said that, I don't even begin to know what the quote-unquote alien agenda is, and I, Jerry, very much agree with your idea that there's multiple groups, multiple agendas, multiple things going on. The phenomenon is just so complex that any speculation that I make about it is probably only covers a little piece of it.
We are going to take a break, and later on in next hour, we'll have Peter Robbins joining us, who is a good friend of Bud Hopkins and David Jacobs and other pioneers, and his sister was involved in abductions, and I think you'll find that interesting. And then we have Stan Romanek, who will be joining us in the next hour, and Stan has a pretty horrific story in many ways, and so we'll expose that to Craig and Elaine. And we'll kick this around for the next couple of hours, and we'll try to figure out what the heck is going on. It just doesn't sound very good to me, and but it could be. We'll have to see. I've always kind of thought that it's kind of like the people in the wildlife game refuges tagging animals, you know? Seems like they're tracking the same bloodline down.
I think that metaphor is very apt.
Yeah, what about you, Elaine? Do you agree with that at all?
No, because many of the abductions turn into full-blown political scenarios. I mean, one of the best most instructive abduction cases to study is Jim Sparks, who changed from being, unmitigatedly hostile to the aliens that were capturing him, to at the end of his book, after the aliens put him through all their paces to break his will and succeeded in doing so, where he's virtually groveling at their feet. And as far as the political scenario, it ends up the end, or he has a tumultuous meetings with the reptilians in a deserted carnival yard, and they tell him all about the U.S. government and what they want him to do with respect to the government, and how culpable our government is, and the unspeakable crimes that have been committed by our government. So no, I don't see it as, you don't do all that stuff with lab rats.
We'll be back with Elaine Douglas and Craig Lane, and Peter Robbins will join us next hour as well, and we'd like to hear from you. I'm Jerry Pippin.
You know, on the internet, you can get lost. You hear some people, some hosts saying, bookmark us, or put us on your favorites. Well, that's a good idea. If you don't have one of our websites or all three of them on your favorites, we suggest you do that now and come back often. We change content every day. So come and see us at jerrypippin.com, iPodShows.net, and UFOShows2Go.com. And we continue with our abduction special. Dr. David Jacobs explains the procedure.
My own research then began to involve trying to figure out a chronology of exactly what happens during an abduction event. When people say that they are abducted, what do they mean by that? What I found was is that you could get a minute-by-minute chronology for the 2 hours in which they were gone. People are physically missing from their normal environments when they are abducted. These events happen in real time. Police have been called. Search parties have been sent out. Parents have been frantic about their missing children. Children have been frantic about their missing parents. People are rendered passive before the abduction event occurs. They are taken out of their normal environment. It might be a car, it might be their bedroom, it might be their living room, it might be their backyard. They are taken on board an object, their clothes are removed. They sit in a waiting area. They see other people there, all who don't have clothes on, all who are glassy-eyed. Small gray beings take them into a room. The room is going to have a large number of tables in it. They are placed on a table. There is a series of physical, mental, and reproductive procedures that are administered to them. People began to report that they were having embryos injected into them and sometimes retrieved from them. Then they're taken into another room, and there might be somebody standing there waiting to have them hold a baby. The baby looks odd, strange, looks sort of like a mixture between human and alien. They're required to hold the baby, they're required to stroke the baby, they're required to have the woman feed the baby. Their clothes are then put back on. Sometimes they put their clothes on backwards by accident because their brains are sort of addled a little bit. Every once in a while, they'll be handed the wrong clothes, put on somebody else's clothes, come back to their normal environment. Maybe they're sitting on the couch watching television, they're back sitting on the couch, and they realize that the show that they were waiting to see was over with a couple hours ago, and they're wearing someone else's clothes. This is what people tell me, and they tell it to me over and over again with increasing regularity and intensity.
That was Dr. David Jacobs pretty much summing up the entire abduction story in a couple of minutes. And Dr. Jacobs issues his apology for not being here tonight, but he had a choice of either being on the show or getting a divorce. And the reason I say that is because he's on vacation up at Cape Cod, and his wife had some plans tonight, and Dr. Jacobs thought he could sneak away for at least for an hour, but it's not going to work. But he'll be joining us in our next abduction special, which will be either in late September or October. And our telephone number is 888-919-2355, toll-free if you have questions. We've got some callers. We'll go to them in a minute. But Elaine and Craig, I want to thank both of you for being on the panel and for being candid and putting forth some disagreements. That's what this is all about. And I think we're all interested in getting to the truth, if it's possible. But there may be more than one truth. Don't both of you agree to that?
Yeah, I agree.
How about you, Elaine?
Well, I think that this idea that there's more than one alien group, even though there really might be more than one alien group, but there's an alternative explanation for why that arose.
Yeah, the reason I said that earlier is because there have been more than one description of who's abducting people. Craig, have you found that?
Yeah, I have a very wide variety of beings that are seen, and not all of the fetch, not all of the shore parties, if you will, are small grays. So.
We'll track Peter Robbins down in a quarter hour or so and have him join the conversation. He's also on vacation. He's also on vacation out in Arizona.
The question of what the aliens look like is not as important to me as whether they're under one political command.
Yeah.
You know, they could be looking different and be under one political command.
That's a good point. I tell you what, we have a caller here. Let's go to them. Area code 823, you're on the air.
How good, good. I would like to tell my story. I think I've been, had an experience with mainly the grays. That my mind is so, how could I say this, like fragments. It's been like 2 years ago since I feel like the grays have been, you know, taking me. I used to have like every night sleep paralysis, and then I'll just wake up thinking that I was taken or maybe I went somewhere, and I just didn't know how to handle that. I don't know why what they did to me. I'm not even sure. I just know it was four grays, and that's pretty much all I have.
So both of you, Elaine and Craig, here's a man calling. It says he's not sure, but he thinks abductions have happened. I guess, Craig, before you put people under, that's probably the scenario they talk about. Do they suspect it already?
Yeah, they don't know. There's a lot of times that, you know, this caller, can we call you by a particular name, you know, just a pseudonym or anything, a first name you want to use?
Yeah, caller, what can we call you by? What's your first name?
My first name is Jimmy.
Okay, Jimmy.
Jimmy?
Yes.
So the first, you know, usually like the callers like Jimmy have a lot of unusual events that they sort of are the tip of the iceberg, on the tip of the iceberg, just poking up into conscious awareness. And sometimes that's all there is to it. And if we take, I have taken people into trance and had them describe exactly a sleep paralysis event. Other time, you know, the majority of times, it's probably some kind of an interaction with the phenomenon. What I would suggest is, well, first of all, Jimmy, let me ask you this. Have you had other unusual things happen in your life besides this, besides the little fragments of memory that you described?
Well, I don't remember this, but my parents, they told me that when I was little, around 3 years old, that at the middle of the night, I would have conversations with a kid somewhere in the living room or somewhere in the room, that they couldn't see him, and I just kept on pointing on the doorway, and he's over there.
Okay. Could they hear the other child? Could they hear your companion, or could they just hear you?
No, they would just hear me talking to them, and then when they walk out of the room and ask me about him, he wasn't there no more.
Okay. Yeah, cause were you able to see the other being, or your companion?
No, like I tell you, this was when I was very little. I don't remember this. My
parents
so
you don't
told
remember.
Me about
okay.
this.
Okay, so you don't remember. Okay. Yeah, there's, okay. How about since then? You know, how about in that, you know, since then in time when your conscious mind is laying down memories after about three or four?
In other words, I think he's asking you if you've had similar experiences in the older life.
Yeah, later on, once you start remembering things, do you have any other unusual events that you can remember?
Only 2 years ago is when I started having these visitations, like these grays, and I kind of wore them off myself. They haven't bothered me, but I feel like I'm being, you know, surveilled. Sometimes I feel like they're watching me.
Have you had any other UFO sightings or kind of paranormal events or psychic events or anything like that? other unusual things besides memories of alien beings or anything like that?
I have never seen a UFO. I actually was pretty skeptic at some point. When I was younger, around 12 and 13, I used to believe in aliens and stuff, but I said, I've never seen a UFO, I've never seen an alien. What should I believe this, you know?
Okay. How about you? Have you had any psychic experiences or anything?
Psychics? No, not really.
Okay, any kind of unusual coincidences or things like that?
Coincidences? No.
Okay, all right. How about the rest? How about in your family? Has there been any kind of unusual experiences in your family line? Either your parents or your children or grandparents?
My grandparents in Mexico, I'm originally from Mexico, their house, they had pretty unusual paranormal things, from shadows to seeing people on mirrors and stuff like that, but I never seen none of that.
Okay,
caller, thanks for calling in and telling us the story. Elaine and Craig, I had lots of nightmares when I was a kid. It was very spooky. Saw the movie The Thing. I couldn't sleep at night for a long time. The problem here, it appears to me, is not only do people have abduction experiences, but we have other psychological things happening to us.
Yeah. There's a lot of null hypotheses for different aspects of the phenomenon. And one of them, like sleep awareness during sleep paralysis, is itself a bona fide phenomenon. And various dream events, lucid dreaming, out-of-body experiences, things like that, are all pretty well documented in themselves, and they have nothing to do with alien encounters, at least in the immediate sense that we're talking about. And when I've taken people into trance on a number of occasions, it's turned out to be just exactly that. You know, either some kind of dream material or some kind of a metaphysical experience, or just simply awareness during sleep paralysis. One person described being in REM sleep, being unable to move, but it was purely an ASP event, awareness during sleep paralysis. So there are a lot of non-alien explanations for a lot of these things.
Yeah, Elaine Douglas, the one thing that stood out in that caller to me was the fact that, and it went hand in hand with what Dr. David Jacobs was talking about at the top of the hour, is that the abductees range in all sorts of stations of life, from working people to high top executives to even probably top people in the military. In fact, I know several people in the military that suspect they've been abducted. And haven't you found that the case?
I think that this fellow that called Jimmy, since he remembers the presence of grays, we didn't ask him what they looked like, but we'll just have to take his word for it that he remembers the presence of grays. And if that's the case, then I think he's an abductee. And the event that he reported from the age of 3, where he's got this invisible companion in the room and he's talking to them, and his parents get up and they say, "Who are you talking to?" They find their 3-year-old in the middle of the living room talking to somebody that they can't see, shows the length of time, you know, that the aliens work with people, decades and decades. This fellow sounded, I don't know, like maybe he's 30 years old. But that if he is, then that means that the aliens have been working with him for 30 years. And that's what it takes, in my view, to get really the abductee into the position that the aliens want them to be in, which is completely persuaded of something. It takes a long time.
Interesting. It's an interesting hypothesis in your... You're definitely right. Some people have decades of experience. Craig and Elaine, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to bring in Peter Robbins next. And okay. He has some interesting things to talk about, and he'll join our panel. So don't go away, folks. And then next hour, we have Stan Romanek to join us. He has quite a story as well. All of this and much more coming up on our abduction special. I'm Jerry Pippin. Don't go away.